Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where we discuss the biblical roots of our people and our faith. Linked to Accurate Precious Metals Refineries, our morning show sponsor at HebrewNationOnline.com. Lines are open, so call 503-967-3001 if you would like to join in the conversation. You can also chat with us online in the morning show chat room at HebrewNation.net.
And welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. This is a beautiful, rainy, overcast, slightly warm Wednesday morning in the Northwest. This is Kimberly Rogers, and we have Teresa Casolino with us this morning. How are you doing, Teresa?
Doing very well, thank you. I was expecting a song to come out of that litany of descriptors. That's why I was chuckling.
Oh, well, no, I'm not going to go out and stand in the rain and sing like, you know, like Gene Kelly. I, you know.
I dated ourselves there.
Yeah. Well, we have with us this morning a musician by the name of Bruce Moss. And we're going to be featuring his music this morning. I've got his album right here, and I have listened to this. He has a great voice, I can tell you. How are you this morning, Bruce?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. Oh, listen to that voice.
You guys are in for a treat.
I know. This is what you call a radio voice.
Yes.
Yes, it's a radio voice. It's an announcer's voice. Haven't you ever heard that?
No, not for me, no.
Really? Nobody has ever told you that you should be on radio?
Well, people have said I remind them of other singers, but...
Yeah! Liz, why don't you share with us the list of other singers that people think you sound like?
Well, some people say I resemble a bit of Gordon Lightfoot, and I've even had somebody say I sound like Eddie Rabbit.
Yeah, that was me, folks.
That would be Kimberly.
I listened to that. I said, oh, that sounds like Eddie Rabbit.
Yeah, it's a better option than Roger Rabbit or Peter, right?
Yeah, it is.
Wow. Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that on the Sabbaths, I typically go to Pal Talk, and I go to Eddie Chumney's room, and I'll listen to his messages, and I visit some other rooms to get to know some of the brethren. And in my journeys through Pal Talk, this person who's our guest today, Bruce, would sing a song live. And I'm telling you, it can get pretty excited in a Pal Talk room when sometimes the discussions get a little off track. But Bruce would sing a song, and the savage beast would be soothed. All of us would calm down. We'd get a little bit more humility in us, and we would settle down, and we'd be like, can we have another song, please, Bruce? And Bruce would always graciously play us another song. And the amazing thing is that he would play them live. And this got to be such a treat over the months. And we asked Bruce if he could come and join us on Cup of Shebrews. And we were going to do this a while back, but he was having internet problems. So now your internet is somewhat repaired, though you did warn us that you've been having some problems still, right?
Yeah, it's not as frequent as it has in the past, but it still crops up its ugly head every now and again. So
Okay. Hopefully
we can get through this.
Now, when we invited you to come on the show today, you even offered to sing live again.
Yes, I did, but I hadn't set myself up to do that now because I thought.
No, I know, because we asked you to send the music so that we could cue it. I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but this just goes to show how talented, and the music just comes through beautifully. What do you have cued for the first song, Kimberly?
only by the grace of Yah.
Let's just start with one of his songs so we can, and then go into talking to Bruce about his journey.
Okay.
Of Yah will I be free from sin. Only by His grace will I live again. Only by His grace will I see His glory shine. Not by my power, but only by the grace of Yah. Only by the grace of Yah will this world survive. Only by His grace will we be alive. Only by His grace when Yeshua comes again. Not by my power, but only by the grace of Yah. Grace was a mystery that He has revealed to me. I was condemned to die because of my sin. Then Yah gave His only Son because He loves everyone. And He took my sin so I could live again. Only by the grace of Yah will I see my King. Only by His grace will the sinner sing. Only by His grace will I bow before His throne. Not by my power, but only by the grace of Yah. Only by the grace of Yah will my Savior come. Only by His grace will I see His Son. Only by His grace will I see His majesty. Not by my power, but only by the grace of Yah. His grace was a mystery that He has revealed to me. I was condemned to die because of my sin. Then Yah gave His only Son because He loves everyone. And He took my sin so I could live again. Only by the grace of Yah will He call my name. Only by His grace will I rise again. Only by His grace will I see eternity. Not by my power, but only by the grace of Yah. No, not by my power, but only by the grace of Yah.
Wow, that's beautiful. Now, I hear in there, Bruce, a guitar, of course, and you're playing the guitar, right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
That's a what?
That's correct.
I thought you said that's a Gretsch.
You have an accent.
I have what?
You have an accent. I don't.
Well, you know, for those who are not familiar with guitars, Gretsch is a brand of guitar.
That's true.
And so, now, was that a 12 string?
No, that was a 6-string, Gibson J45.
Oh man, it's so rich. It sounds like a 12 string.
Wow. I played 2 tracks, so I guess that makes it 12 string.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, I double track it.
So. So do you dub the track or do you play the song the second time?
Oh, I play it. I don't copy and paste it, if that's what you mean, or loop it. No, I play it.
Okay, so you're not overdubbing.
No, I just play it twice. I find it gives it a better blend, a better sound.
Okay, so that is why that has that 12-string sound. And it's amazing that you play it exactly the same time twice because, you know, to overdub like that, you need to be able to play it exactly the same way twice. But like you said, you're not copying and pasting it. So that's amazing because I don't know that I've ever played anything the same way twice.
Well,
you've been doing this for a long time, haven't you, Bruce?
Yes, I have, yeah. I've been doing
it. How long?
Well, I'll be 64. My birthday is in April. And I guess, well, if you want to really go back to when I started in the early 60s to learn guitar. When the Beatles hit North America, that was it for me.
Yeah.
I decided that's what I wanted to do, you know. And I devoted my younger years to learning the instrument and, of course, getting into that lifestyle, which unfortunately turned out to be a disaster for me. But that's another story. But I've been playing now for quite a few years.
So yeah. Are you an old rock and roller?
Yeah, I came out of the rock and roll genre back in the 70s. And I left the bands and I went into the bars as a single. Just myself and my guitar, and I changed the genre of the music from rock to folk. I began to like folk music. Actually, there was a Canadian folk artist that really inspired me at the time. His name was Stan Rogers. You may have heard of him, or maybe not. But anyway, Stan Rogers was my inspiration.
Oh, cool!
And I started to. Oh, excuse me.
Bruce, we have a caller. Hi, Kenny.
Good morning, Teresa. Good morning, Teresa. I mean, Kimberly and Bruce.
Good morning.
Well, actually, it's Poker Tove. Bruce, I just heard that song, and with the garbage that's been going on, and only by the grace of Yah that just give me so much peace.
Amen.
In my heart.
Mm-hmm. And they told
you so much.
Yeah.
And something that I needed. So thank you.
Wow. Now, Bruce, where can we get this album and what is the name of the album?
This album is my 9th recording. It's called Songs from On High.
Okay.
And, you know, I do everything home. I as you see, it's not about me. It's always been about Yahweh, you know. And, I do everything from my little home studio. And, through the internet, through Pal Talk and that, I've sent CDs all over the world, you know, and people, who have interest, I tell them generally to contact me by my email. And with the request, and I will, send them out from here, right? So I don't have them in major music stores or anything. I just do it from home.
Okay, and so where can we get your album? I want Kenny to have this information.
I do, because that was amazing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It means a lot to hear that. My email address is songman, songman, gospel@yahoo.ca. That will get me through my email, and I always check my emails.
Okay.
And, yeah, so people email me with their request and give me their mailing address, and out it goes in the post, in Canada Post, as soon as possible, right?
Okay.
Well, right.
Kenny.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, we need to play another song. You can hang on here if you want, or, you know.
Well, I just wanted to say one more thing to Bruce. Your voice is so amazing that it just sounds, the voice of God when you sing and the angels when you sing. It's just soothing to my heart and my soul, and thank you so much. It was a blessing for me. So, shalom.
Okay, shalom, Kenny. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Okay, shalom. Bye.
Bye, Kenny.
Bye-bye.
And we have another caller. Caller, what is your name?
Hi, it's Lori Collins. Good morning, Boker Tov.
Hi, Lori. Hi, Lori.
I wanted to say that that music that I just heard spoke to my soul, spoke to my heart. I felt like it was a love song to the Father and about the Father and about his love for us. And I had a hard time holding back the tears.
Aww. Oh, no, it's beautiful.
The gift that he has planted in him, in you, sir, is awesome. And I just want to encourage you to just keep it up and please share more with us and let us know, you know, where we can maybe listen. You mentioned Pal Talk. I didn't know if I misheard.
Well, we'll go over that. I'll go over that when in a few minutes. But that's where I've heard most of his music. But he's also available. You can find him on YouTube if you look up Bruce Moss. Just put one of his songs out there for you to listen to. And you could also call Hebrew Nation Radio and ask for Jackie to order the music at 503-316-1220. Or you can contact Bruce directly at songmangospel@yahoo.com.ca. But that's how I heard him. Yeah.
Well, I certainly appreciate you ladies having him on today. It was just what I needed this morning.
Good, Lori.
So, well, bless you guys. Boker Tov again. Shalom blessings to everybody. And I'll go now and listen to the rest program.
We're going to play another one. Let not your heart be troubled.
Oh, that speaks to me. Perfect. Oh, the Father knows. He knows exactly what we need to hear when we need to hear it. So thank you again, and I'll let you guys go and listen. Okay? Bye-bye.
Let not your heart be troubled. I have heard your prayer today. And I have come to comfort you, my son. Do not be discouraged, for I have heard you say, forgive me, Father, for the wrongs I've done. All who will confess their sins and call upon my name, I am just and faithful to forgive. And I will cleanse you from unrighteousness and take away your shame. And I will teach you how to live. I praise you, Lord, for you are good, and you alone are worthy to be praised. I praise your name, Jehovah Elohim, holy, holy. Your name. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in Yah, believe believe you also in me. For there are many mansions in my Father's house, where I've gone to prepare a place for thee. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for thee, I will come again to receive you unto me, so that where I am, you may also be. I praise you, Lord, for you are good, and you alone are worthy to be praised. I praise your name, Jehovah Elohim. Holy, holy, holy is your name. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid, for my peace I give unto you. The covenant I made with the house of Israel, I made with the house of Judah too. I will put my laws into your hearts and write them in your minds. And every man shall know I am the Lord. And you will be my people, and I will be your Elohim, and your sins I will remember.
Wow, that's beautiful, Bruce.
Well, thank you.
Yes. We were having some audio quality problems there. It sounds like we've got an airplane flying above us. And I don't know what that was, because it wasn't here at my house. Plus, I had my mic muted, so I don't know what that sound was, but I'm sorry it was interfering with that song.
Yeah, we apologize for that, folks. We have no control sometimes, and we just do the best we can, but we appreciate you bearing out with us. We're down to 1 minute, and Bruce, just wanted to thank you for putting what you're finding in scriptures into your songs, because it's obvious that you've been doing some studying.
Yes, I have. Actually, that is my inspiration. That is my source of everything I do, you know.
Yeah. And go ahead.
And I was going to say it's an endless supply.
Yeah.
That's true. And if I think we can get inspired and re-inspired just by the same words, and you seem to have such an ease with how you put the words together. They just glide together and ride on that music that you write. It seems so effortless, and that's what I think makes it so soothing and relaxing to the listeners, because we're not arguing with the song and the lyrics. But we'll be back on the other side to play some more songs.
APJC Salem.
We are
Hey, and welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show with Cup of Hebrews and our guest, Bruce Moss. If you're just joining us, Bruce Moss is a singer and a songwriter. He hails from Canada, and he has been sharing some of the music that he's written, and he's been writing music since a long time ago. And I think what I'd like to do, Kimberly, if you agree, is to play another one of his songs. And okay. Then talk a little bit about the journey he's been through and then end with another one of his songs. Are you okay with that, Bruce? Kimberly?
Yep.
Sure. That's fine.
Okay. We're going to play In the Presence of the Lamb.
Tribulations
in the presence of the Lamb. The lame will walk, and the blind will see. The slow to learn will understand, and the dead in Christ will live again in the presence of the Lamb. Those who trust and love Jehovah, those who do all that He commands, will be blessed forevermore in the presence of the Lamb. One more mile to the River Jordan, one more trial to Beulah Land, where I will live among the angels in the presence of the Lamb, in the presence of the Lamb.
That's pretty effortless. Les, thank you for that. Did we take on a caller?
Yes, but she hung up. So, I don't know if she wanted the office, or you know, she got us, and we were playing the song, and I didn't want to interrupt the song. So,
okay, all right. Well, we wanted that. That was beautiful. A caller, you can call back now. We took your call in, but we have no way of telling you to stand by while the music plays before we can talk to you. So please call us again if you like. What we're going to do a little bit is talk about your journey here, Bruce.
Yes, that's fine. I mentioned earlier that I was in the secular music industry for quite a few years. I started to learn guitar when I was about 12. And from that, I went on to different rock and roll bands and played that for years on the road, touring and doing all the things that you do in these bands, you know. And not a very Christian way of life, not a very holy way of life. You've heard the old saying, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Well, that's the culture that still permeates the music industry today. You know, it's a very unholy alliance, basically.
Right.
And I went down that street, you know, I was looking for the glory and the glamour, and, I found at the end of the day that there was a dead end street, you know, and it cost me dearly. I was, I was addicted to a lot of things. And, at that time I had no desire, you know, I didn't believe that there was a creator, there was a divine, that Jehovah Yahweh existed. I certainly didn't believe that. And, I was doing it my way. And my way was, led to a lot of pain, a lot of destruction in my life and in the life of my family, you know. But anyway, that's behind me now. And when I did bottom out, though, I used that term. I crash burned, you know.
And, yeah, I was going to say, what got your attention?
Yeah, well, I guess after I realized that what I was pursuing was based on lies, and it was a dead end street, and left me feeling like I had. I was burnt out, basically. You know, I couldn't stand back on stage anymore. And everything that seemed to be important to me at the time, I found was not important anymore. And then I began to search, you know, in the spiritual, you know, to see if there was a God or an Elohim. You know, I cried out in my lowest and darkest hour, and I'm happy to say that he does exist, and he heard my prayer, and he has taken me out of that, you know, and he's given me a new life and a new direction, a new focus, you know. And like, I've written a lot of songs outside of the Christian music that I do, or spiritual music, and you know, a lot of people still want to ask me about those, but I wouldn't trade one of the songs now that the Lord has given me for all I've written in the past, you know.
Yeah,
it's a whole different lifestyle now, right? I have hope now. I have a future, you know. And I owe it all to Yahweh, you know. And I have committed my life now. I'm, like I said, I'm turning 64 in April. And as long as he gives me the breath and the ability, because it's from him, it's not from me. I have a song, one of my CDs is called God is the Poet, I am the Pen. And that's exactly what it is. You know, I take the words he gives me through the word, through the study of the scriptures. And a lot of times I call this my walk and talk with the Lord. I'll leave and go. I live out in a sort of a country setting, and I can go back through with my dog Jake, and we go back through the woods, and I snowshoe back through in the wintertime. And of course, when the snow is gone, I go back through in the summertime. And it, for me, it's my walk and talk with my Elohim, you know. And I always come back with a song. I always come back with a concept, you know.
Oh, okay.
The melodies and the words come into my mind, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I want to explain on that a bit, because when I was in the secular music industry, you know, and I wrote the songs that became popular, you know, I was asked by people in interviews, you know, what inspired the song? Where did it come from? And you know, this is a question that's asked most people who are successful as songwriters in the music industry, and the answer is always the same. It just came to me. It popped into my head. And you know, it depends on what station you're tuned into, right?
Yeah.
My secular music was popping into my head, but from a different source, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And now that I'm plugged into, Yahweh's channel, and this is the only channel now I listen to.
Good. Now
he's in a small, still voice. You know, he doesn't yell at us, right?
Yeah.
And he is putting the melodies in my heart and giving me the words. You know, it's not for me. I don't take any credit. I just allow myself to be used, and that's been my prayer. You know, Father, use me. You know, according to Thy will. In Thy service, and that's what I live to do now. You know.
Oh, and so in the interim, though, you've encountered some rough spots.
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, once you make a commitment, you know, it's not all you know, it's not all smooth sailing from there on. You know, sometimes it gets difficult, right? Because, you know, a lot of people, I mean. Well, the way it is, I guess, with human nature, if you're a druggie or you're an alcoholic or whatever your addiction is, and you hang out with people who are doing the same thing, you're all normal, you know, and you're all, you know, looking at each other as friends and comrades, you know. And then when something happens that one person breaks away from that lifestyle, you know, then they're not welcome anymore in that circle, right? And I've experienced that, even in my spiritual walk, you know, like I started to study the King James Bible. Of course, I'm English and I don't speak Hebrew, and you know, and it was through the King James Bible and the language in the King James Bible that I began to develop an understanding of who my Creator was, my Savior, you know. And you know, I use the terms, well, like I said, I have 9 CDs to date, and the first 7 are all the languages from the King James Bible. So you'll hear the names of Jesus Christ and the Lord, you know. And it was only since I got into Pal Talk and I started to fellowship in the like Fulfilling Torah and Vineyard of Shalom and the Hebrew rooms on Pal Talk that I begin to learn a lot of different things about, you know, the Hebrew roots in Christianity, right? You know?
Right.
And to Eliyah.com, you know, I've learned a lot. And, I've been fascinated, you know, a long time ago that the English translation is just that. It's a translation from the original Hebraic and you know, Aramaic and Greek texts, right?
Were you initially excited to hear the name that Yeshua was originally given, the name of Yahweh, or did you feel a certain loss for not having known it for so long?
Well, I guess the loss is probably more correct in my case, because you know, I had never heard of it, right?
Yeah,
I had only known the name of Jesus Christ and the Father as the Lord or the I Am, right?
And yeah.
Well, all the language that's in the King James Bible,
right?
And yeah, and so when I started to hear these names, I was sort of, wow, you know, this is certainly different. You know, this is not what I'm used to. But I try to have an open mind about everything, and I try to say, well, you know, Lord, show me. You know, this is my prayer. Show me, teach me. You know,
yeah.
I want to know. You know, and yeah. That the more I stayed in these rooms and begin to go into the concordances and the you know, and the sea, you know, and it made sense to me, because, like I said, the English language is only one of the many different translations from the Hebraic, right?
Right. It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. Absolutely. So after a short period of time, I started to be very comfortable with it, and I started to, you know, started to use it. And you could see, how my music has, I'll use the word evolved, but I have to be careful about that.
I get it. That's a word that came to mind, because it has grown.
Right. It has changed, and you'll see that I've started to incorporate, songs, especially from the Psalms. You know, I've been very interested in the Psalms of David, and I've been arranging some of them to music. But as I begin to understand, you know, I became very, very excited about Yeshua and Yahweh, Jehovah. And, you know, there's still in my mind, I mean, when I go into these rooms, I do find that there's still a lot of argument, I guess is the right word, with how to pronounce the name, right? I mean, that's there's a lot of confusion in Christianity, and I find there's still a lot of argument and confusion in you know, the messianic rooms that I go into. And I try to, you know, I'm not a confrontational person, and I just sit back and listen, you know, but I love the way Shalom, you know, I have you know, how that rolls off the tongue, you know.
Yes.
You know, and I have developed a great respect and a great love for the language, you know, although I don't speak it very much. You know.
Well, what I said at the beginning was how you can come into a room that's in a highly spirited discussion, and you know, everyone's like, oh, play us a song. And immediately all that tension, that negative tension is removed. And as you can see, even the callers would agree that it's such a peacefulness. It's such a shalom that you bring in. And it's, I kind of find it an irony that you're pretty much of a newbie into the Hebrew roots. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean,
out of the mouth of babes, we have you calming down people who should be more mature in the faith.
You know, like I said, in some of my later CDs, I have this song called The Song of David. And, you know, it's based on the Psalms. And when I go in the early stages in Pentecost Talk, now this hasn't happened in quite a long time. I have to make that clear, but some of the Hebraic rooms that I went into, when I played that song, everybody was, oh, we want more, we want more. And I was only too delighted to play more. Excuse me. And, the next song would mention the name Jesus, and the next thing I know, I was red dotted, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Red dotted means you cannot talk, and you are silenced in the room.
You can't sing. You can't text. You can stay if you want, but, you know,
don't say Jesus.
Don't say the name Jesus, right? And
yeah.
Oh, and but that was in a minority, you know. Like most of the rooms that I go into, like Vineyard of Shalom, for example, when I went into there,
yeah,
you know, they were very. It was shalom, you know. it was joy. It was peace, and you know, people could disagree but not be disagreeable, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
We did it in the spirit of shalom, you know.
Hey, well, Bruce, we need to play your next song, which is called "Songs from On High."
Sure.
Okay, here we go.
Resounding in my heart with melodies and harmonies I sing of the glorious refrain that is written in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach Elohim, of whom the angels sing hallelujah to their King, for He alone is worthy of all praise. And with every melody that Yeshua gives to me, I will glorify and bless His holy name. Songs from on high are the essence of my life. There is love and grace in every song I sing. And with every note and phrase, I will offer up my praise to Yeshua HaMashiach Elohim. And with the angels I will sing hallelujah to my King, for He alone is worthy of all praise. And with every melody that Jehovah gives to me, I will glorify and bless His holy name. For there is no one like my Elohim.
Wow. Wow, that was beautiful. And we have just about 30 seconds left. Thank you for coming on the show, Bruce. It's been really wonderful to finally get you on here.
Well, it's great.
If you want to find his music, you can call up Hebrew Nation Radio at 503-316-1220 and we can order it for you, or we can direct the information back to Bruce. Bruce, awesome music. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and shalom to you.
Yes, and we're going to have you back, Bruce, because you've got some more songs, and I'm sure that you're going to have another album soon. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where we discuss the biblical roots of our people and our faith.
Link to Accurate Precious Metals Refineries, our morning show sponsor at HebrewNationOnline.com. Lines are open, so call 503-967-3001 if you would like to join in the conversation. You can also chat with us online in the morning show chat room at HebrewNation.net.
And welcome back to the second hour of the Hebrew Nation Morning Show with your two cup of Shebrews, Teresa Casalino and me, Kimberly Rogers. In this hour, we have with us Jim Barfield and Steve Mutria. We're going to be talking about the Copper Scroll Project. How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are doing excellent.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And just give us a little bit of a hint. You've been on with us before, and we talked about what was going on with you, and I guess that was probably in January of 2013. It's been a while. And so what's been going on since then?
January. I just got back from Israel when you spoke to me last?
Yes.
Yeah, that trip was an awesome, awesome trip. But I'm gonna kind of bundle it all up into a short synopsis of it, and then we can tear it apart if you want to, and
okay.
Let's go through everything. But first of all, you hear me okay? Everything sounds fine?
Yeah, everything sounds great.
Okay, well, good. In January of last year, Chris Knight and I went to Israel. We got to have an interview we got to do a presentation to the guys at Qumran, down the hill, from Qumran is a antiquities department. It's a several buildings that they have there. It's kind of an office space, but we did a presentation there, and it went incredibly well. It went so well that the Director General for Masada, Director General for Qumran, Director General for the entire National Parks Authority, the lead archaeologist for the National Parks Authority, and about four other individuals that were associated with the Antiquities Authority at that meeting. Actually, yeah. Get a presentation. The guy that I was really wanting to speak with, of course, were the directors. However, there was the archaeologist. His name was Zvika Zuk. He's the lead archaeologist for the National Parks Authority. Well, he comes into the meeting and he says, guys, I'm sorry. I'm not going to have as much time as I thought. I'm only going to have 30 minutes. I told him, said, well, listen, if I can't convince you in 15, we're good to go.
That's a good answer.
I was very serious. And
yeah.
He sits down, and what was supposed to have been a 30-minute conversation with him turned into an hour and a half.
Oh.
And at the end of that conversation, he was saying, we could do this, we could do that, we could do this. And I'm thinking, what does he mean by we? You know, this is a project that we put together for the purpose of, you know, sharing it with all of Israel. It's not a personal thing for me. You have to be careful, especially when this much money or valuables, I should say, is involved. You got to be careful about that, who gets involved, and you would not believe the shady characters I've had to deal with. It's been
really horrible. Yeah, I was just reading about the jewels of Damascus and how that's causing a little bit of push and tug out there. So I can just imagine who you're dealing with out there.
I'm telling you, it's been horrible. The kinds of people that, you know, say they're getting involved for the right reasons, you know, to further the kingdom. Well, baloney. It's to further their pocketbooks. But to get back on track is this is what happened. He saw it. He loved it. he contacted an archaeologist. He was concerned about conflict of interest, so he contacts another archaeologist with Hebrew University. That gentleman writes me a nice long letter giving his resume. He got to see a portion of my research, and he said, Mr. Barfield, your research is incredible. I would love to be involved in this. So now I got an archaeologist involved. Well, from that point, let's jump forward to April, May, June, June timeframe. And what happened there was we were supposed to have been able to do an excavation or not an excavation. I'm sorry. Do a scan. Well, this archaeologist he was getting all the paperwork ready. He said, no problem.
Yeah.
This can be done easily. Well, they stopped him cold. They would
Who's
not.
Who's they?
The Antiquities Authority stopped him cold. And I asked him, I said, Bud, why are they stopping us? He said, Mr. Barfield, and I got him on tape. I recorded the conversation for accuracy's sake. He said, they are afraid that you're going to find something.
Okay, that's not a good answer. Why are they afraid?
Why are you kidding? They're afraid because, all of this stuff is located in what is called the West Bank.
Exactly. That's the hot plate.
Say that again.
That's the hot plate.
Okay. Oh. Connect the dots. Why is that a problem?
Yeah, that is, the dots are that since it's in the West Bank, and really it's Judea Samaria, it's Israel, it's not the West Bank, it is not occupied territory, it is territory that is owned by Israel, belongs to Israel, period.
Yeah.
Well, they slammed the door on us, and all we wanted to do was do a scan. To test to see if those items were still there. We've got a very high dollar piece of equipment that penetrates at least 50 feet and possibly even further. And it's designed to distinguish between ferrous, non-ferrous metals, ferrous being iron, steel, non-ferrous being brass, copper, silver, gold in that category. Well, That's what they're afraid of. But now what I would like to do is I want to let Steve kind of let you guys know another reason that people are concerned about us finding these items. And I believe they've already been found, period. But Steve, if you don't mind, would you kind of let them know from the prophetic side of the house what you and I are seeing in this realm as well?
Well, before we do that, what makes you think those items have already been found?
That they've already been found?
Yes.
We found them.
Oh, but they just haven't been exposed.
They haven't been dug up.
Yeah.
Okay, so you weren't implying that anybody's gone in there and removed them or any of that.
I'll tell you more on that. Don't let me forget, as soon as Steve gets done, I'll tell you more on that when he gets it.
Okay.
Okay, go right. Steve.
Steve.
Go.
Okay. Well, all I can say is, you know, we've been working with Jim now, I guess, for a little over a year. Actually, 2 years we've been discussing lots of things. And it's been this last year that we've just been kind of really getting more and more tighter. Our conversations have grown from once a month to almost every day in the last, you know, I'll say 3 months almost, it seems. And we just keep seeing things taking place in the world. There are lots of things. I mean, if we look at Bible prophecy, it doesn't take much to say, you know, man, what in the world is going on these days? Now, we've always seen wars. We've always seen revolutions. We've always seen this. We've seen that. But what we're seeing, and we've even seen earthquakes throughout the years, but what we're seeing to be seeing at this moment in time of history, it seems, I'm saying, all things are culminating closer and closer together like never before.
Yeah.
Just alone, we had this last week. U.S. passes legislation, a bill that basically is the beginning stages of declaring war on Russia. And I'm going, wow, and people aren't seeing it. And then you have, obviously, we have unrest in Israel. You have the spread of ISIS that's been growing like crazy, even more so. You got U.S. facing civil unrest right now. In the last, just the last 2 to 3 weeks, civil unrest has been growing in the United States like never before. Mm-hmm. And it's only growing. We have earth changes, you know, that have dormant volcanoes, dead volcanoes that's come to life just this year alone.
Right.
Yellowstone National Park was reported just this last week. It's releasing new gases at an insurmountable amount that they've never even had this amount before.
Yeah, so and the East Shelf and all that. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. It seems like the orchestra has been tuning up.
Yes. Now you're going where that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And then I'll wrap it up with this here. And so just a week ago, I had an individual contact me saying, "Hey, Steve, you need to check this video out." Well, I forgot to watch it that night. It was like 12 o'clock at night. I'm going to go to bed. Then I realized I had to watch it. So I'm thinking it's a short video. Well, it's not. It's really long. Well, I'll give it 5 minutes. I watched the first 5 minutes and I was sucked in. I couldn't get away from it. I stayed up till 3 o'clock that night. It was all on gematria. Now, I am not a gematria fan. I don't know much about it. I can't say that I oppose it, but I can't say that I necessarily am all behind it as well.
Right.
And as I was watching it, this guy was just saying things, connecting dots like never before. And it all lined up with thoughts that I was thinking, oh my stars, this is the same time frame that I've been looking at. And he nailed it to the T. And as I was going into it, I'm going, oh my stars. And because he was pointing, the whole point that this guy was showing was everything could start this coming Hanukkah, namely December 21st, as being the middle of Hanukkah. And as I was, when he said that, my jaw hit the floor because this is a thing I've been looking at for a long time, the last year. And just, you know, you're always going to keep your feelers out. What can happen here? What can happen if this is the case? Mm-hmm. And then I received a timeline from someone and it was nailing everything to a T. It shows how, the earthquake of Isaiah 24 could very easily be on December 21st of this year, which is on a Sunday. And then it goes into all these timelines. And I'm going, oh my stars.
Okay. Steve.
Yes.
When in your timeline do you see the altar getting set up? Is that in the middle of the Hanukkah week?
It's not the timeline that was given to me. It doesn't mention anything about any stuff being set up. And personally, I can say that I've never seen, that specifically taking place. Now, how will it play out? I don't know.
Okay.
I do believe, and Jim and I were talking about this, that it's, even though we are like all on trying to get the Ark of the Covenant, all this stuff dug up at Qumran, we both are of the understanding that it's very plausible that the Father made us reveal it at his time. Though we're working hard to like show the location, as from all the research that Jim and his project has done, we have come across a possible hidden prophecy in the Psalms that may show that an earthquake may simply open it up. And it's in Psalm 85:11, and it says, "Truth springeth out of the earth, and righteousness hath looked down from heaven." The whole thing, truth springeth out of the earth. Well, that's the whole thing. It's the whole ark, the whole temple is all about truth. What's inside the ark? The Ten Commandments. All of this, it all springeth out of the earth. How else could this be, in my opinion, but a possible hidden prophecy saying it's all going to be revealed at an earthquake of some kind. He'll pop it out of the ground at his timing. But I was telling Jim, I said, man, it's so vital that you have come along at this time showing the exact location. So whenever it does happen, we have history showing this is the location. This is the exact thing that's come out of the ground. We know we can verify it by these records that the Copper Scroll Project have shown.
Wow. Chicken skin. That's goosebumps. That would be so cool.
I know.
Oh my. And I saw some of that on your website, Jim, the Copper Scroll Project, where you showed some of that gematria, and I read the story about a man gave you some paperwork, and your wife, you gave it to your wife, she put it into the back of her Bible, and life went on for 4 years until it fell out of her Bible again.
Yeah, I was in Arkansas.
And you picked it up, and you started looking at it, and this is kind of what you were just talking about, right, Steve?
Yes.
The gematria. Well,
it was a different individual, I believe. However, it came across a lot of the same stuff.
And I'm looking at this, and I'm going,
this is, I don't know what the statistics would be to pull that many clues out of that small of a passage in scripture.
Yeah.
Well, it was trillions.
In the trillions. Because
it's the one.
The names and the words that were in there that were coming together, and I'm just going, okay, something is going on here.
Right.
Yeah, what actually what you're talking about is a gematria is a bit different. It was the Bible code. The Bible code, I didn't know what to think of it, to be honest with you. When the guy brought it to me, I was very thankful that he was taking the time to show me the computerized data that he had about the copper scroll found in a Bible code event.
What's the difference?
There's a big difference. Gematria, for example, it takes the values of the Hebrew letters of a particular word,
yes,
or sentences, and combines those values, and those values many times equal the values of other sentences in the Bible on the same topic.
Okay.
And it shows the correlation of those, and it's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. But the Bible code is specifically, Hebrew letters that spell out, different things for, like, for example, the Bible code on the copper scroll.
Yeah.
There were, I think it was 7-8 words that directly related to the copper scroll. Mm-hmm. It was copper, scroll, find, tabernacle, ark, the date that I made the discovery, one to vet. I mean, that was, and the guy, there was no way he knew what day it was that I made the discovery. He just said, and here's a date. The guy that was the archaeologist that was with me when we did the modest excavation that we did do, 2009, it gave the year that we did the excavation, and it gave the name of their archaeologist. Yuval Peleg. It didn't say Yuval, but it said Peleg.
Inside of 23 verses.
Yeah, and they're like bookends. The verses said, and I'm going to paraphrase because I don't remember it exactly. It said, and God said, let the people go. And then at the very last one, I think 27 in Exodus 10, I believe, it said, and Pharaoh would not let the people go. And all of these, there were, he found 33 directly related to the copper scroll, and it was all about the tabernacle, the boards of the tabernacle, the couplings, the latches, the vessels. Oh my gosh. It was incredible. It was all about the tabernacle, all of these words that were found. And then I go back in and I find even more. I bought a computer program and I said, okay, I got to check this for myself.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to let somebody tell me this. I want to see it for myself. So I
You must be from Missouri.
Oh gosh. Yep. Well, anyway, I checked it and everything that he said was true. Only I found 33 more that were directly related. And at the time it was like the chances of that happening was like, trillion to one. Well, now I found 33 more. So, what does that put the odds at? I have no clue. But in any case, all of these things, again, were directly related to the Copper Scroll Project. The only thing that I didn't find in there was Jimmy D will find it on Christmas Day. I don't know. There was no – I was not interested in there. It's not fair. So let me tell you, so you had brought up something – that is a key item of this whole story.
Okay.
You talked about the altar being built.
Yeah, Kimberly did.
Right, right. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to say you guys. That way y'all and cuz I can't tell you more.
Yeah, we all did it.
Ewan.
Yeah, we did.
Did you know that an altar has already been built?
Yeah, the prototype is built. They have been rehearsing the Tamid offerings on it, and the Kohen are, doing that regularly.
Is that what you're referring to?
Well, let's see. You know where that altar is at?
Not very many people do know where that altar is at. They're not making it public. So even if I did know, I wouldn't tell you. But I'm sure that based on your question, you probably do know because you're in touch with those people at the Temple Institute.
Yes. And I'm telling you, it's been built and it's kosher. There's a specific way that it has to be built. There's a specific stones that have to be used.
Right, okay. But this is not the same one that will be built on Temple Mount. They can't take that one that they're using now for the daily offerings and move it up to Temple Mount. They have to build a new one up there.
Yeah. Well, and you're right because the Jewish people, the Kohanim, the Levites, they have to do their offerings on the Temple Mount.
Right.
So and it's very clear scripturally that they have to do it there. And the location of this altar is not on the Temple Mount. I'll tell you that much.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, it is right. This one is not the one that they're rehearsing on.
Yeah. And you got to remember too that if I'm correct in assuming that the tabernacle itself and all the implements, because it says, in Second Maccabees, that the tabernacle, the altar of incense, table of showbread, and the Ark of the Covenant were buried inside of a cave, as Jeremiah was en route to Mount Nebo. Well, this location that we're talking about for the Copper Scroll Project is en route to Mount Nebo. And not only that, but in the Copper Scroll, at the very last location described, says that all the treasure of the house is inside of a cave, and they buried the entrance. It's described just like it's described in Second Maccabees.
Okay. Well, listen, we've got about 4 seconds before the music is going to come in, so I'm going to break us right there so that when we come back, you can continue. That's a nice, clean place to break. Oh, no, we don't. We've got two minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at the clock wrong. Excuse me, Jim.
No, forget it. No, I'm not. No.
Done with us. Done with us-ins.
Yeah, we-ins.
Yeah, guys, and I'll make it quick, but okay. It's the same description. It calls it the treasures of the house. Now, of course, gold, silver, gems, that sort of stuff, they're amazing treasures, but that is not the treasure. The treasure is the implements of the tabernacle. The tabernacle, can you imagine if that's the one reward that I want? Is to be able to sit there and watch these things come out of this cave.
Oh, that would be.
Can you imagine?
That would be as close as you could ever come to giving birth.
Yes. And what do you think is the likelihood of you being able to do that? Will they let you, when they finally take these things out of there, will they let you be present, do you think?
Yes, I do. I do think they will be because there's more to the story, but I'm not going to tell you right now. I'm going to wait till after we come back from the break. And I got some more I would like for Steve to bring into the mix too.
Well, I apologize for breaking early. I saw that countdown coming and I thought we were hitting that, hard break mark. And it actually another few seconds we are. Everybody just stay tuned because we are going to talk some more with Steve Mutria about the prophecies regarding this stunning development in the Copper Scroll.
So intriguing. Yeah.
And we're going to be back with Jim Barfield as well. So y'all hang in there.
Lancaster Drive in Salem.
KPJC Salem.
And welcome back to the last half hour. Can you believe that 2 hours is almost done, Teresa?
No. We just enter a different type of time zone or something. It just goes, loop, gone.
Yeah, I know. Well, listen, we were talking on the break about something that's very important. And so, I'm going to turn this right over to Steve Mutria.
Yeah, we were just talking, you know, just what Jim and I have been discussing for some time is the importance of wishing more ministries would come together. That's why we joined alongside of Jim. It's just, what we see he's doing, it's just phenomenal to us. And so many times we've seen that maybe a word comes to a certain ministry and they think they've got it all. When in reality, they may only have a small element. And they need to be realizing that we all have something right. We all have something wrong. We need to work together and come together and sharing that word with the whole body. And that's why I was talking to Jim too. And you guys, how we're so thankful for Hebrew Nation Radio. It's like Hebrew Nation Radio does so much. They reach out to so many people. They reach out through the ministries and for the ministries as well as theirs. And just wishing that more people would learn to come together. The ministries, meaning I'm saying, and because in that, working with Jim, it's been such an eye-opener for us seeing all these things. And then it's so funny because I guess a couple weeks ago, he said something that I go, oh, that works out with this. And he goes, oh my goodness, I never saw that. And then he said something, I go, oh my gosh, I never saw that. You know, it's like we kept working together and things just kept building and growing. And it was in that that I was discussing with him and we were discussing the timing of everything, how it's so interesting how this could really come to realization here real soon, meaning the ark and the tent. And if you look at it, I know there's lots of debate on, you know, with this different things and that different thing. But if you look at the prophecy regarding Ephraim, and I think it's in Isaiah, and it says, you know, for the head of Damascus is Aram, and Damascus is Rezin. And then it says in 65 years, Ephraim will be broken and cease to be a people. And now we know that was a prophecy regarding the northern tribe back in the day. However, we also know that it's prophesied that Ephraim will become the fullness of the nations. So that being said, is it possible that that can have a dual fulfillment whenever all the Ephraim truly becomes the fullness of the nations? And if you count from the year in 1948, whenever Judah started returning back to the land, you go from that May of 1948 to May of this year was a completion of a complete 65 years. We are now in the 66th year. So is it time for Ephraim to be broken, i.e. the global earthquake discussing, that all of a sudden that earthquake is what reveals the ark? There's just so many potential possibilities, it's mind-boggling.
Wow. That's exciting. I mean, that's what keeps me up at night is I start getting into the word and I'm starting to look at things and I get so involved and then it's like, okay, 3 a.m.
Yeah. Been there, done that. Yep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys must spend a lot of time laying awake at night too.
Oh man. It's like, and it's so funny too, because this timeline that was shared with me, I'll have to share it to you. If I can get you guys email, I'll shoot you this timeline that was given to me. I'll forward it to you. It throws so many things out. It's like, it's just amazing.
Thank you.
We'll share a little bit more.
Can I share a little bit more on that same
stuff? Sure. Yes.
Yeah, well, and as we go into that, I want everybody in your audience to hear and understand this teamwork. This working together is crucial. We're not mm-hmm. only do we need to work together as individual ministries, if you will, because we're not individual ministries. We're mm-hmm. the body.
Exactly.
We are the bride. We are the coming people, and we can't forget that we are attached and associated and brothers with Judah.
Right. We're a community.
We're a community that went, and it's this working together. That's
yes.
going to make everything right and prepare, for the coming Mashiach. But in saying that, everybody, we've got to support Hebrew Nation Radio. We got to support them, guys. From what I understand, they're going to be losing their sponsor and I don't want to lose this.
Yeah.
This is great. I mean, to listen in to, the other teachers and the thing, that's awesome. And yeah, we got getting the word out.
We appreciate you saying that. Thank you. Yeah, we're losing our one major sponsor starting next year, and we need to make up, hopefully the viewing audience or the listening audience can help out with that. We would really would appreciate, if you would become a member or consider giving a gift. We're in need. If you can just imagine us not being here.
Right. And next week we're going to be doing a pledge drive on here Monday and Tuesday. And then you and I are going to be plugging it on Wednesday, Teresa. So everybody, consider getting behind Hebrew Nation Radio, supporting them financially.
Yeah.
Well, in conjunction with that, and we've got to stand together. And matter of fact, I'm going to be going to Israel probably at the end of January, but it's going to be associated with the Cover Scroll Project, but it's more in line with the Northern Kingdom. And I'm not going to tell you any more than that.
Really?
But yes. And
I'm sorry, but you need to.
You know, this is a habit that Jim has of, you know, he's a great marketer.
No,
he
Jim,
gives
you
a little teasers.
Yes, yeah, you must tell us now, Jim.
what I can tell you is this.
Yes.
See,
I broke him.
You kind of did. In the scripture, it talks about the offering that must be done for the birth of a child. For the male, the female has to wait. Her cleanliness period starts after 33 days.
Yeah.
For a female, it's 66 days.
Okay.
Okay. Now think about this.
And here we are in the 66th year too.
We have, the 66th year from the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Israel plays a feminine role. It plays the feminine role, and it will be bond with the coming Messiah. And so listen.
Okay.
It's been 66 years. So on a grand scale, what if that 66 years is over, and now what Steve has told you out of the book of Isaiah, and all this is coming together at the same time, these blood moons, no matter what you think about them, you got to consider them.
Right.
Consider what they, because none of us really know the day or the hour.
Correct.
But we can doggone sure pin it down to the year, I'd bet. So anyway, think about that and all of us working together for one purpose, to restore the kingdom. And believe me, I have got rabbis in Israel, one in particular, he is very adamant about the restoration of he calls us the Ger Toshav, to returning and being a necessary and absolutely crucial part of the restoration of the whole kingdom of Israel. He's adamant about this, and that is the first time I've ever heard a Jewish rabbi say things like that. And he's right, and he's building it on scripture. He's building it on even Talmudic information. He's saying, this is what it says in the Talmud, that these things have got to happen. So, by gosh, why are we not doing it?
Okay.
So, it's good.
We're getting funneled together. We may not, some of us may fight it, but we're getting funneled.
We are brothers and sisters. Regardless, I mean, if we're part of the household, then by golly guys, you gotta accept our Jewish brothers. And if you don't, you're in a seriously scary spot.
Yeah.
We gotta work together.
Of course. Well, and conversely, they need to accept us as well. The Jews actually, are reaching out to us and offering conversion to Ephraimites. And while I don't condone conversion to Judaism, I do see that as a positive step, Jim. So it does go both ways.
It does. There is a need for all of us. It's just like what Steve said. We've all got pieces of the puzzle. And on the grand scale, Ephraim has a chunk, Judah has a chunk.
Right. And you know, and when we get together, when we do finally get together, when the sticks come together in our hands, you know what that's going to be? Two heads are better than one, and we will defeat our enemies.
Yeah. And think about it. There's going to be witnesses.
Yes.
And remember, one of them is Moses, and the other one is Elijah the Tishbite. I was talking to him, and I was looking at the possibility, this rabbi, and looking at the possibility.
I thought you were talking to Elijah. Go on.
No. Elijah had talked to me.
See, he said that. I was talking to him. Go on.
Talking to the rabbi. And,
okay.
And I said, listen, what's a possibility that Elijah was Ger, was
yes,
not a blood-born Israelite? Mm-hmm, and he said, yep. He said, if you're going to go there, let's go. And he began to tell me.
All right.
So and I'm telling you, this guy is all about supporting us to do more than just keep the seven Noahide laws. He's saying baloney.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
I'll wait and ask him for permission to, because
okay,
he's in trouble.
Okay, fair enough. Ask him if he wants to come on the show.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. All right.
He's not a believer in Yeshua.
Sorry, that's okay. We've been having a lot of Jewish people on the show over the last year and a half, who are not believers in Yeshua.
But they believe in Messiah.
They believe in Messiah, and if they don't, say that it's the one that we believe in, it's okay, because different interpretations will eventually become the same interpretation, whether it's a change in us or a change in them when Messiah returns.
Amen. So combine that. Here's people that are accepting. And do you realize that this is a Shemitah year, according to my Jewish brothers?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. As we're watching the stock market crash, we're learning all about the Shemitah year. Go ahead.
Yeah, there is a price to pay for not keeping the Shemitah year.
Oh, big one.
Ask the guys in Babylon. They'll tell you.
Yep.
So now, guys, what if that stuff of the copper scroll is there? And all these people are preparing for the very thing that we've been talking about. Some of the most bizarre things are happening. Now, let me tell you this. There's a gentleman by the name of Moshe Feiglin.
Yes. Yes.
Moshe Feiglin.
We're fans.
He is a big time supporter of the Copper Scroll Project.
Oh, okay.
And he is a very big time supporter of prayer on the Temple Mount.
Oh, yes.
The building of the temple. You name anything biblically religious, he is all over it.
Jim, I got to tell you this story. I contributed money to Moshe Feiglin's campaign to run for prime minister. Uh-huh. And somebody on his campaign staff called me personally on the phone to thank me. From Israel, and I was like a kid at a teenager at a Beatles concert. I was like all screaming and hitting. I was like, really? You're that close to Moshe Feiglin, you know?
Wow, I'm
a big supporter of Moshe Feiglin. Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, since you brought it up, Moshe Feiglin and I met in New York. We had, as they called me specifically to come speak at an event that he was, a fundraiser for him.
Oh, cool.
So I said, better than that, let me talk to Moshe Feiglin about my project privately. And they made the arrangements. We got a house. I set up my little teeny projector and started giving him a presentation.
Look,
he got
you.
He got it, guys.
Oh.
And he's going, oh my goodness. He said, why are you not digging? I said, well, your government won't let me.
Yeah. I mean, people are like, why are you not building the temple? Same reason.
However, listen to this.
Yeah.
He has just thrown his hat into the ring for
Prime Minister.
No.
No.
For,
uh,
for the leader of Lafood.
Yeah. Okay.
Once he gets that position, he can move on to prime minister. Well, that, as of a week ago, a little over a week ago, that was impossible for 2 years. However, Benjamin Netanyahu has dissolved the standing government, and he's calling for a new general election. That is crazy. It's only happened this early in a term. I think one other time in Israel's history, the current Israel. And yeah. Now the possibility is within the next few months, we could have a new prime minister in Israel. And if Moshe Feiglin gets in position, guys, you can bet.
Yeah.
Over there digging within a month. That, I mean, he's that adamant. Now, let me tell you this too. And.
Okay.
I'm trying to be careful. I went out to Qumran and I took this massively expensive piece of equipment and I scanned 4 locations at Qumran. Ladies, every one of those locations indicated large amounts of non-ferrous metals, which are, again, brass, copper, silver, and gold. Large amounts.
Wow.
It's, and they were in the spots where I suspected they would be at. That's the key. Each one of those were in the spots where I said that we'd find, the treasures at.
Yeah, I see where why you have to proceed with such caution because yeah, that is.
Yeah, because you know what? Then I got a sample of some mortar that was where I believe the entrance to the cave is at. And in Maccabees, it says that they sealed the door of this cave shut and then buried it. Or they sealed it, buried it.
Okay.
Well, there was mortar on the side of the left side of where I think the entrance is at. And I thought, what is that stuff? And the archaeologist that was working with me, Yuval Pelik, he said, that's nothing. Well, baloney. Mm. I took a piece of it and I sent it off a few weeks ago. Just got off the phone with the lady that made the arrangements for me. And guess what? That stuff, the archaeologist told me that it was not man-made. It was a natural occurrence. Baloney.
Right.
It's man-made mortar.
Yeah.
The report is on my website. You can go look at it for yourself.
Okay.
Of course, they have worded in a scientific way, but I'm telling you, it's man-made mortar.
Okay.
Why would it be out there 300 yards away from the Qumran compound? And why would it be in an area that looks just like all the other caves in the area, and there's a bunch of them, and it looks like it's been buried?
And here's the thing with all of that, Jim. I mean, just like everything is there, like we assume. If everything is there, like the Copper Scroll Project leads us to believe, we also know that the Copper Scroll Project identifies the Tent of Meeting being next to the Ark inside that cave. And I know a lot of people are looking for an actual temple being made. However, if this Tent of Meeting is there, they can set the original Tent of Meeting up from Moses, and there you have it. The end times can play out exactly. A lot of people refer to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 where it says the Antichrist sets himself up in God's temple. What people forget is that word for temple is a word used for a temporary shrine. It's the same word used in Revelation where it says God's temple was seen in heaven. It's the exact same. And then what people say, well, that's because people still assume that in heaven it's a physical temple. We forget that Moses, when he made the Tent of Meeting, he used, according to Hebrews, the tabernacle that was in heaven as the plan, as the original model. So we're looking at Paul saying he sets himself up in God's temple. He says, man, he sets himself up in God's original tent of meeting. So all the more playing out, this is all coming to a head. And we've, at 119, we just helped Jim make a video here not too long ago. We're going to be making another one, Lord willing.
All right, the video.
Yeah, and hopefully this new one will be coming out in another week and a half, giving lots more evidence, because people are saying, you know, prove it, basically. Well, we can't prove everything, because, you know, I get to keep a lot of it secret, but we are giving out lots of information that Jim's given us, and we hope to show that there's lots to be considered in all of this.
Just amazing. How exciting. Just, I don't know what stops you from just going out there and digging with your hands, because you must have so much, restraint. It's got to be so frustrating because they're not letting you do it, but we also know that things happen according to his time.
Thank you. That is the biggest thing. And believe me, I've had be so insulting and so mean, you know, you chicken, get out there. Baloney. I am not going to do that. I'm not going to break their laws just because, you know, people want me to. And I have to honor my brothers in Israel. I do honor them. I honor their laws and their rights. It's their property. I'm in their backyard.
Right. Right. You're in their home.
And you can't forget that it's very possible that the Father himself will just make it revealed. And all of this is just to verify the location.
Okay. Yeah, what he's saying about the earthquake, and I know we're just about out of time, the earthquake, Qumran, there's a large crack in the earth, probably 2 feet wide, and I don't know how deep it is, but it's filled in with sand over the years and dirt. But it's also split one of the mikvahs right down the center. And on the eastern side of Qumran. So if that's possible, what Steve is saying is possible as well. What if an earthquake comes and just breaks open that cave and all that dirt just falls out of the way and there's an opening? I'm going to send Steve in just in case the Ark of the Covenant is there.
So you're expecting that earthquake to happen soon? Is that what I'm understanding from the timeline you were talking about?
Well, yeah, and the thing of it is too, a lot of people look at the scripture when Yeshua says, you know, there'll be earthquakes in various places. One thing that is for sure, I can tell you that, I knew this before I even received the timeline. The word for various places there is kata tapos, which means according to the scriptures. So Yeshua is saying there's going to be an earthquake according to the scriptures. Well, if you look, you go to Isaiah 24, there's a global earthquake. You go to Jeremiah 4, another global earthquake. So, I mean, how are we to say that this is not going to be the official beginning of the birth pains that he even said? And another thing people forget is that he says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. That's two different Greek words. It's actually better rendered as wars and revolutions. And then it says, but you're going to have those. And then he says, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. So he clarifies, first you get wars with going to have tons of nations and kingdoms. But then he says, nation against nation, singular against singular, I mean. And then kingdom against kingdom, singular against singular. So what does that mean? Possibly, you got the nation of Jacob, okay, versus the nation of Esau. And then you've got nation against nation, or kingdom against kingdom. You got the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness.
Right.
So there's lots of things. But the biggest thing is, he says that the kata tapos, it's not various places. It's according to the scriptures.
So in the timeline, you mentioned December 21st. Is that this year or next year?
Yeah. The timeline showed it was this year. I'll have to verify that. But, yeah, it's this year.
Okay. Well,
don't come back on the show, Steve, and say I was wrong. I meant next year.
No. It's, again, the guy where I got the timeline from was even saying, like, this is just something to consider. So I'll try to forward it to you. He had a lot of good points.
All right. Well, we want to thank you. We're talking really fast because we're down to our last 10 seconds. Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you so much, Steve.
You're welcome.
Abba bless you in travel mercies and all that. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
And you guys as well.
Same here.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Teresa, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
His light now shines, the darkness must flee. The darkness must flee from the living word. His light now shines, the darkness must flee.